Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And welcome into the best in true crime podcasting. This is True Crime Tuesday. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. I hope everybody got plenty of food over the holiday weekend. I hope everybody smoked up as much as they wanted on 420. Yes, we went through that holiday as well. For my Jewish friends, I hope you had a happy Passover. And we're back to full strength, I believe, on this week. Happy week after holiday. We'll put it that way. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. With me, I have a co-hostess. I reach across the Twin Cities as she is full of happy holiday cheer, or the week after holiday cheer. I know for a fact she probably hasn't imbibed. I don't know. I shouldn't speak for her, but I'll take it she probably hasn't imbibed. If she has, she looks glowingly refreshed. She's broken every record the other side of the Atlantic as far as book sales go. We can bring up the charts, but we don't have that much time today, folks. She's intelligent, she's funny, she's witty, and she's darn good easy on the eyes. I'm not English is my second language today. I might have imbibed over the weekend. Ladies and gentlemen, here she is, Jessica Freeberg. Jess, how you doing?
I'm so good. Great to be here.
Let's just say 420 was good to me.
It's still affecting you, huh?
Yeah, the 420 bunny was here this weekend.
Oh gosh, that 420 bunny, they're trouble.
All it is just a basket of grass. I had no idea.
Yeah, and then you light it up and you just giggle and you eat Cheetos.
That's right. It's a basket with Cheetos and grass. You open the Cheetos and you light the grass on fire and you breathe deep.
A good old time.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? It's kind of fun. Yeah. It's good for the joints. You don't feel
it. Yeah, thing. I mean, it's legal here, so you're not doing anything naughty.
No, not at all. No, completely legal. Yep, completely legal. Speaking of completely legal, we're going to do Dumb Crime, Stupid Criminals this week. So it's amazing. Yay. How many other people didn't want to work on 420 this week.
I'm sure there's some extra dumb ones this week.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's not an author. There's not a filmmaker. There's not a TV producer. There's not anybody in sight this week. They all went and hid in their basement too this weekend. So,
as they should. It's a very special holiday.
That's right. It wasn't just Jesus that came out of a cave this past weekend. It was, turns out most everybody else went in their cave and they didn't come out after 3 days. So. It's just how it is, Jess. Just how it is. So we're going to do Dumb Crime, Stupid Criminal.
That's what we're going to do. Let's do it.
Let's do it! that's not scathing social commentary. That's just the way things are on the holidays.
It is.
Yeah. Just telling you the truth. That's me throwing stones in a glass house, which leads to our first story. See how that works? I'm working.
Yes.
I'm working in clever segues here.
Little segue. See? Yeah.
Our first story comes from one of our listeners, who are the only people who work on holidays, evidently. See how I tied that in? It's a rock throwing case.
Ooh, yeah. A rock throwing case.
Yeah. See how I'm tying everything in? Has to do with a co-defendant testifying against Joseph Koenig in the Jeffco murder trial of Alexa Bartel. Now, if I were to tell you that the defense asked of a rock allegedly in Koenig's hand when he threw it, that he got some velocity on it, so much so that Rocco Baldelli, the manager of the Twins, is going to call this guy for the speed he got on this thing. Would you be
really? Oh, it's that good,
huh? Oh, let me tell you, I don't think there's a major league hitter that could have hit this rock. That's how fast he threw it. Would you be impressed? I mean,
That's incredible.
Yeah. The defense asked of a rock allegedly thrown in Koenig's hand, "You who believe yourself to be a leader, you didn't say, don't throw that?" Kwok responded, "I have to live with that every day." Let's tell you how fast this rock went. We go to Jefferson County, Colorado. A co-defendant who previously pleaded guilty testified against a man currently on trial for allegedly throwing a rock at a young driver's car, smashing her windshield and killing her in Jefferson County in 2023. You got to ask yourself, how fast is that rock going that he killed her by breaking the windshield? Keep in mind, there's giant cement trucks out there kicking up rocks that barely crease your windshield, right?
Holy cow. And he wasn't throwing it off like a bridge or something?
We're about to find out. 20-year-old Joseph Edwin Koenig, his trial began on Friday with jury selection, a week ago Friday, with jury selection and opening statements starting this past Monday. The case has three defendants, and all were 18 years old at the time of the crime. They were all charged with first-degree murder, attempted murder, and second-degree assault, with attempted second-degree assault in connection with the 2023 death of Alexa Bartel. She died on April 19th, 2023.
Here are some results.
And evidently, Alexa wanted to chime in as well. You stop it. You stop it right now. And actually, she's bringing up the case.
Is she?
Isn't that weird?
Good girl. I'm not going to say her name. I don't want to hear her talking again.
Oh, you know why? It's because of the first name that I said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm. Alexa Bartel died on April 19th of 2023 after a large landscaping rock crashed through her windshield as she was driving northbound on Indiana Street just south of State Highway 128 in Jefferson County. About a week afterward, the three suspects were arrested. They were also accused of throwing rocks at multiple other cars. Koenig's two co-defendants are Zachary Kwok, who is 20 years old, and Nicholas Carroll Chick, who's 20 years old. Both Kwok and Carroll Chick have pleaded guilty, and their plea deals required them to testify against Koenig. Koenig pleaded not guilty to the charges in April of 2024. Now, on Thursday afternoon, Kwok entered the courtroom in handcuffs and an orange jumpsuit to testify against Koenig. With his plea deal, he faces 20 to 32 years in prison. Kwok said he had met Carroll Chick and Koenig, the two were lifelong friends, a few weeks before Bartel's death. As the prosecution asked him questions, he described what had happened on April 19th of 2023. Sometime after the dinner hour, it was dark out. Carroll Chick and Koenig came to pick him up. Carroll Chick was driving, and Kwok got into the seat behind the front passenger. The trio initially went to a friend's house to pick him up and then went to Walmart. In the parking lot, Kwok said he picked up landscaping rocks from the median area, and Carroll Chick began picking them up too. At the same time, Koenig was adjusting the car driver's seat so he could take over driving, Kwok testified. Carroll Chick and Kwok began putting the rocks into the car. When prosecutors asked what he wanted to do at that point, he responded, "Go home. I didn't want to be a part of what was about to happen. I'm not sure on exact wording, but I did say that I'd like to go home." At that point, they dropped off the fourth friend, went to a gas station, and then Carroll Chick and Koenig began throwing rocks at stationary cars, Kwok said. Kwok said he remembered passing the rocks stored in the footwells in the back seat up to the two teens in the front, and he would hear their cheers and whooping when they threw the rocks. So they were throwing them from the car. Like,
oh my gosh.
So they're throwing from a level distance. They're not throwing off. It doesn't sound like they're throwing off of anything.
No, it doesn't. That's crazy.
At that point, they remember hearing shattered glass, Jess. And though he couldn't see the damage to the cars, he said Carroll Chick was throwing with his right hand from the passenger seat and Koenig was throwing with his left hand, shot put style, out of his own window. The prosecutors asked about Kwok's reaction. "In hindsight, I should have reacted differently, but I think I kind of ducked my head," he said, adding that he was playing a game on his phone, like put the top of my head on the rear of the passenger. In other words, kind of like up against the seat.
Mm-hmm.
Quack told the courtroom he didn't throw any rocks that night because it didn't seem correct to me, and he didn't find it difficult to resist the mild peer pressure from his friends. After stopping at another gas station, they grabbed more rocks from a recreation center. Things escalated a bit. It started with slower moving vehicles, Quack said, indicating the teens were no longer targeting non-moving cars and instead were starting to throw rocks at oncoming traffic. He recalled a half dozen instances. Sometime during that, they went to a come-and-go gas station, Jess. By the way,
I love me some come-and-go pizza. Oh, no, that's Casey.
Yeah, Casey. We still need to...
Never mind.
I'm lax in getting us our come-and-go t-shirts. I need to get
them. I know. We need the come-and-go t-shirts, and then we need to go get Casey's pizza while wearing the come-and-go t-shirt.
That's right. Yeah. I'll work on that this week, on getting us our come-and-go t-shirts. So they went to a come-and-go gas station where they picked up more rocks and then got back on the road. I remember hearing somebody say, last one... Quack said, somebody said, last one, indicating to me that this was the last one for the night. I remember hearing faster, faster. I remember hearing the noise that the window makes on the highway. I remember being very cold, and I remember a loud noise. He also recalled Koenig speeding up and said he could see the digital speedometer reading 103 miles per hour.
Holy cow.
So they're, and then, that thing had to be traveling.
Yeah.
At a fast pace.
Ugh, how stupid.
Yeah. It all began with that noise, Quack testified. The bass noise when the windows are down on the highway. I couldn't hear anything. It was very cold. I remember seeing headlights coming up in kind of a blur. And I remember looking down and hearing a noise, a very, very loud noise. I remember hearing the noise and immediately shooting my head back, like looking back. And all I could see was black road and bright red taillights. I saw the rock getting pushed out of the window. By whom? The prosecutor asked. Joseph Koenig, he replied. It sounded like what they describe artillery sounds to be like in world wars. Quack said Koenig seemed to be experiencing a mix of panic and excitement right afterwards. Quack said he saw the damaged car gently turn off the road. He recalled a lot of confusion right afterward, like something seemed off. The group then turned around to drive by the car. They could see it had stopped, but could not see anybody inside. Quack said he took a picture to see if it could capture any of the damage, but it was just a big red blob, and he couldn't see anything. Quack testified that he showed the picture to the others and then just deleted it. He said they couldn't stop to check on the driver out of a childish fear of getting in trouble. Oh, my God. Koenig said that he had saw glass in the road with blood on it. Quack said on the way back to dropping Quack off at his home, Koenig said something about this incident making them blood brothers and that they would take the secret to the grave, Quack testified. There was concern in the car, but I couldn't tell you if it was mostly for self or for her, Quack went on to say. The next day, Koenig and Quack agreed to meet after school to talk about what had happened. Quack said he had seen a Jefferson County Sheriff's Office social media post about the crash with a photo of Bartell. Quack said his meeting with Koenig was brief, and Koenig reiterated not to talk to police about what had happened. When asked why he did not report what had happened to police, Quack said he was scared. In the cross-examination, Koenig's defense attorneys also walked through the events of that evening of Bartell's death. The defense confirmed that there was no plan that night, but Quack knew they were going to do something with the collected rocks, though he had said that he did not think they would try to hurt people with them. However, he knew about the possibility that teens would want to throw rocks at cars. The defense then asked about the specific rock that killed Bartell. Quack had picked it up at the third stop, but Carol Chick had told him it was too big and he threw it out of the truck, the defense said. Quack had replied, if you won't throw it, I will. The defense said, adding that Quack put it back in the truck, but Quack says he didn't remember this. When asked if he considers himself more of a leader than a follower, Quack said yes. And he has pulled people out of the snow and likes to help people, the defense said. The defense said that the rocks being thrown from the car were collected, put in the truck, and handed to people in front of the car by quack. Never in the night did he tell them to stop, the defense went on to say. And while all of this was going on with the rock and 103 miles an hour, you who believe yourself to be a leader, you didn't say, don't throw that, the defense went on to say. I have to live with that every day, Quack went on to say in his response. The defense also confirmed through Quack that both he and Koenig had thought it would be okay, meaning it would not jeopardize their involvement to go check on the driver, but Carol Chick had vetoed it, so they did not go. And on April 20th, he realized that Alexa Bartel had not only gotten hurt, but also killed by activity that you were involved in, the defense said. But that didn't upset you or affect you deeply? It did, Quack argued. The defense then brought up photos of him at a school prom 3 days later and snowboarding after that. Did you have a good time? The defense asked. No, Quack replied. Quack was arrested on April 26th of 2023 and agreed to talk with police. For about an hour, he pretended like he did not know what had happened. He acknowledged this in court. The detective at one point said he had information that pointed to Quack being the person who threw the rock that killed Bartel. And in response to that, he said, you said, I didn't throw the rocks. So you finally remembered the rocks. This came less than 60 seconds after the detective had said Quack had been implicated in the crime, according to the defense. At the end of the defense's cross-examination, they reviewed Quack's plea agreement. He faces a total of 20 to 32 years in jail, which is significantly less than the original charges filed against him. Boy, what were the original charges if that was the plea deal? Man. The district attorney's office gets to decide if he's truthful in his testimony, and they can back out of the agreement if they feel that way, reinstating the original charges against Quack. During a redirect with the prosecution, Quack recalled telling the detective in that initial meeting with police that he did not kill Bartel. I really feel as though I needed him to understand that, he said. The prosecution asked why he had been dishonest earlier in the interview and that he attributed it to stress from the situation and not responding well to authorities. Quack said he knows that Carol Chick has accused him of throwing the rock that killed Bartel, but reiterated that it was Koenig. What a situation.
Yeah, how can you ever know the truth? They're just going to keep pointing the fingers at each other.
Yeah, yeah. So we started off with that. And believe me, we'll bring the funny in later, but I mean, it's a sad situation, but man, I mean, talk about... Know where your kids are at night, right? And what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's so hard. I mean, because they're kids and right. They're just, they just don't think. They don't think ahead a lot of times when they're at that age. So. Yeah.
But you know, sometimes those dumb kids become dumb adults and they do other dumb things in cars. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
This driver is in an Audi going 155 miles an hour, and he's coined a new phrase, Jess. Normally, it's hold my beer.
Oh, no.
In this case, it's I know what I'm doing.
Oh, gosh.
Famous last words before a deadly State Road 84 crash in, of course, Florida.
Oh, no.
Never say those magic words, I know what I'm doing. Here's the exact quote. Out of Davie, Florida, Jess. I am James. I know what I'm doing. Does that just smack a narcissism to you?
It's a bad sign if you feel like you have to announce it.
That's right. I don't care who you are. Yeah, I don't think you know what you're doing if you have put your name in front of it, right? That's what Florida Highway Patrol troopers say. James Lawrence Case, the third, by the way. There were two before him. Said in response to a passenger who told him to slow down as he drove west in an Audi S5 at a lightning fast 155 miles per hour down State Road 84 in Davie in January.
Now, Audis are a smooth ride, and you can get going faster than you think you're going, but I think at 150, you know you're going fast.
I got to think it vibrates a little.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. At the very least, everything's flying past you quick and your face is probably pulled back from the velocity.
Like this. Right?
We like those ladies going up in the rocket. You know, they were all like, whoa.
Yeah, yeah. Have you seen all the controversy? We talked about Blue Origin last week.
Yeah.
Have you seen all
the... I haven't seen the controversy. What's going on?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Okay.
It's some good stuff. It's really gotten out of control. It's gotten out of hand. They're even getting dissed by Martha Stewart. I mean, when you're getting dissed by Martha Stewart, it's bad.
I can't wait to hear about it tomorrow.
Moments later, after old James gets pulled over by the trooper said that the 20-year-old plantation man, yes, he's only 20 and he's got an ego on him, would crash into another vehicle, ejecting and killing one of the passengers.
Oh, see, that's where it makes me mad. If someone has to die from you being stupid, it should just be you.
Yeah, he didn't know what he was doing. Troopers arrested Case on 6 felony charges, including one count of vehicular homicide on Monday. According to an arrest warrant obtained by Local 10 News on Wednesday, the crash happened just after 2:45 a.m. on January 25th, just west of Davy Road. Authorities say Case, careening down the highway with three passengers in tow, rear-ended a Honda Accord as he switched lanes, causing the Audi to spin out, hit a curb, and roll over, ejecting and killing his rear left passenger, who wasn't wearing a seatbelt.
Oh, stupid on top of stupid.
Mm-hmm. The victim's name was redacted from court documents. Three people inside the Honda were hurt and taken to HCA Florida University Hospital, while Case and his surviving passengers were also hurt and taken to Broward Health Medical Center. Two passenger video recordings showed the Audi speedometer reading 155 and 156 miles per hour before the crash.
Dang.
Yeah. Must be a nice car that you've got video recordings of your speedometer. Vehicle data recorder data. Wow. Showed Case.
Has its own little black box.
That's right. Comes with a black box as opposed to coming in it. Shows Case was going 129 miles per hour at impact.
Mm.
Damn. Yikes. The speed limit, by the way, on that stretch of State Road 84. Care to take a guess how much he was going over?
Well, would it have been like 55?
45 miles per hour.
No way. Oh, my gosh.
He was going three
That's
times.
That's so sad because you know that his passengers were probably also young. He was only 20, so that's just such a tragic loss. That's like my worst nightmare with my kids.
Yeah. Three times the speed limit. According to the warrant, believe it or not, alcohol or drugs were not suspected as factors.
So he's just normally that stupid.
Just normally that stupid.
Wow.
I'm surprised there's a third in the bloodline.
Yeah. Well, it does seem that when you get the juniors and the thirds, there's usually something bad that happens. I mean, there's so many criminals that are like a junior or they have their, you know, they name their children junior. It's a thing.
I won't tell my grandfather and my father that. But
I know my family too. I have my uncle Randy, his son's Randy and his son's Randy. And my dad's dad is Herb. My dad's Herb and my little brother is Herb.
Yep. See? What we'll just, hopefully they won't listen to this. On Tuesday, Case appeared in Broward County Court where a judge found probable cause to charge him and give him a $325,000 bond. That's pretty light, I think, for killing somebody. Along with orders to refrain from driving and submit to electronic monitoring. Broward County Court records show Case has several traffic citations in the county dating back to 2022, some of which were dismissed for lack of prosecution.
Wow. So his parents should not be getting that kid an Audi because there's no way he bought it for himself at 20.
No.
Give that kid a Corsica, a nice old, you know.
I say a nice Chevette.
They don't make those anymore, right?
No. Ford Pinto. Nice 1979 Ford Pinto. Have
there
one souped
go.
Up for him. That's $500 beater job.
You can't go over 85 in a Corsica. I know that for a fact because I had one and I used to try and the whole steering wheel would be like shaking so much. I thought it was going to fall in my lap. That's the kind of car a kid needs.
I think Jess says she has a Chevy Corsica available for Mr. Case once he gets out of the Husco in 20 to 30 years. Case was no longer listed in Broward Sheriff's Office jail records as of Wednesday afternoon, so I think he made bail.
I'm sure his parents bailed him out, don't you think?
I think mommy and daddy made bail for him. By the way, you tell me, you think mommy and daddy made bail for him? I'm not going judged on looks, but you think?
No, he looks like he's kind of spoiled.
Kind of privileged, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say so. I don't think mommy would let him sit in jail. They do bad things to him. All right, speaking of having bad things done to you, here's one that probably deserved it. You know, some people just can't keep their mouth shut. Speaking of Mr. I Am James.
Yes.
Yeah. There's another one that stuck their foot in their mouth, only this time it was in the worst way possible. Is this a joke? Is the question. Police oddly arrest a paraplegic Atlanta man for kicking in a woman's door and assaulting her, then standing by after he falls from his wheelchair.
What?
Yes.
I'm so confused by this series of events.
This, stand by for this one. This one may shock you a little bit.
Okay.
The first of two Atlanta stories today. One of them, they're both in poor taste, but we're slugging 500 here today. A Metro Atlanta Police Department arrested paraplegic man confined to a wheelchair after a woman with a history of lying to police accused him of kicking down her door and assaulting her. I want you to just let that ruminate for a moment, Jess. Let that waft through the air for a second. Man in a wheelchair. Kicking down a door.
Mm-hmm.
Assaulting a woman.
Yeah.
Probability chance here of how many percent?
I mean, if I was doing math, this would be an equation that doesn't add up at the end.
Yeah, pretty much. Charles Reed, who's been paralyzed for 25 years from a bullet that damaged his spine, showed up at the College Park Police Department last month hoping to clear up the false charges against him. As he should, because he has nothing to fear.
Right.
Right. While trying to renew his passport earlier this year, Reed says he learned that a warrant for his arrest had been issued after Catherine Jensen, a woman he had dated decades ago and hadn't seen in 20 years, called police on June 15th of 2024 and told them he had just kicked down her door, choked her, and then fled on foot after trying to steal her car keys.
Wait, did she not know that he was paralyzed?
We'll find out.
Oh my goodness. This is like a good juicy one.
This is pretty good, isn't it? Besides his physical limitations that made such actions impossible, Reed was at a dinner party with friends on the night of the alleged incident. So there's no way he's got an alibi.
An alibi, and I can't kick a door in. Well, or run away on foot.
Right, yeah. There's two things right there he can't do. Might as well have asked him to do a soft shoe on the way out, because that wasn't going to happen either. Yeah. He contacted College Park Police Officer, I believe this is Mark Kennelly Belotte, I think it is, who responded to Jensen's crime report last year to set the record straight. After corresponding with him via email for a few weeks, Reed says he agreed to meet Belotte at the police station to complete some paperwork. Here's where it gets good. Belotte's body cam video shows Reed's surprise on March 20th when, as he sat in his wheelchair in the lobby of the police station, the officer approached and read him his rights, questioned the origin and extent of his paralysis, and then told him he was going to arrest him and take him to jail.
What? This is not good detective work.
I do have video of it, which I will put in the description of this program so you can watch that absurd video.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm. According to Ms. Jensen, on this date, you forcefully entered her home and attacked her, Belotte said. I certainly didn't force my way into anybody's house, a stunned Reed replied, and reiterated that he had been paralyzed from the chest down since 2000. He was married and hadn't seen Jensen in many years. This is crazy to me. Is this a joke? He went on to say. Impervious to his protestations, Belotte then handcuffed Reed's wrists as he warned that he had no muscle control to find or to hold himself upright and promptly fell out of his wheelchair onto the floor.
Oh my God.
Now, if you're the cop at this point, you have to stop.
Yes. And feel like a total jerk.
Balot called for a paramedic and then stood by and talked with another officer about how to proceed with the arrest for 3.5 minutes as Reed lay on the floor requesting assistance. "They watched me writhe on the ground," Reed told Atlanta News First. Two officers eventually helped an exasperated Reed back into his chair, who explained that he could have broken his hip or have other internal injuries and not be able to feel it, which is valid.
Wow.
Yeah. At this point, Balot, a rookie who graduated from the police academy in October of 2023, sought some advice from his superior officers. Like, maybe, should I quit? I think that probably should have been the advice.
Should I go flip burgers at McDonald's?
And if so, should I flip them gently? Because I obviously didn't flip this guy very gently. I just put him right on the floor.
Good. Oh, my goodness.
Good God. One officer whom Balot checked with after walking down a hallway and into another room said of Reed, "It's a ruse, man. It's an obvious attempt not to go to jail." Captain Obvious strikes. He reasoned that if Reed could drive and wheel himself into the police station, he could break into a house. Are you
kidding? Oh my gosh, come on.
Seriously.
She literally said he kicked her door in and literally said he ran away on foot.
These two idiots have never heard of hand controls on a car. These guys have never seen a handicapped man get into a car by himself.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But another supervisor, Sergeant Harvey Dorsey, seemed more concerned about the arrest in progress after getting a look at Reed in his wheelchair. Thank God somebody came to their senses. Wow. This is blowing my mind. Actually, one of our listeners sent me this story. I think one of our listeners has actually kind of heard my story about Sharko Foot and stuff like that, and knew I have a bit of a soft spot for some of these stories. One second here, and I'll get to the rest of the story, because even my iPad doesn't want to move right now. It's in shock. It's like, are you kidding me?
It's appalled. It's disgusted.
There's more to this?
It's yes. Crazy.
Yes, iPad. There's more to this story if you just want to move. What's crazy is, yeah, that there were two cops that totally didn't believe it. It was only the one cop who was like, you know what? I have a little bit of a concern over this. There was one out of three of them that actually,
one rational person.
Yeah. That was like, maybe we shouldn't beat up on the guy in the wheelchair. You know, the one that's flopping around on the floor right now and is asking for assistance.
The one who can't get himself back up by himself.
Yeah. The one who can't
move,
you know, below the chest. Maybe we should Take some, my gosh. Hold on just one second here.
And this lady, I hope that there's some repercussions for making a false accusation like that. That is so frustrating.
Well, you can't just go around accusing someone that you haven't seen in 20 years.
Yeah, and like that's the part that's really psychotic. Why would you?
Right. Why would you just bring up an ex-boyfriend from 20 years ago and say,
20 years later, I'm going to accuse someone of doing something to me that I haven't seen in 20 years. It's so weird. Why are you even thinking about them? Get a life.
Although, Jess, I have dated my share of women that are like that. That's one of my main worries this many years later is that I'm going to get Mr. Dennis, would you step outside for a moment and have to defend myself for... And someone I haven't seen in two decades. This is my worst nightmare come true.
Oh right my here, goodness.
Is this story.
This right whole here. Story is going to be very triggering for you. You're going to have some.
Oh,
you're going to need a little therapy when we're done here.
I want to know who the guy's lawyer is.
Yeah.
Cause I want to hire them. Yeah.
Just in case.
Oh.
Keep them on retainer.
Right? It is. It's one of those worst nightmare scenarios where you think you've never been so. I mean, it's bad enough for an able-bodied person to say, well, you know, you're vulnerable at that point because you haven't done anything wrong, right? You absolutely haven't done anything wrong. It's another thing when you don't have use of your arms and legs and they go, oh, no, it had to be you just because somebody claims it's you. So we're going to proceed.
Right.
What?
Guilty until proven innocent, I swear.
That's right.
It's very strange.
That's right. Okay, so a U.S. Justice Department investigation found last year that the Fulton County Jail is overcrowded, unsafe, unsanitary, does not provide adequate health care to its inmates, while conditions are so bad that they violate the Constitution and Americans with Disabilities Act. So guess where he's going?
They are not sending him there.
Reed explained that as a paraplegic with severe scoliosis, he had complex medical needs and that being put in a police car or even an ambulance without his customized wheelchair could cause him injuries. He pleaded with officers to find a way to avoid and minimize his time at the jail and to let him make his case to a judge. He asked, "How can we do this in a way that protects my body?" A female officer then stepped in and told Reed he could come back to the police station and turn himself in at 3 a.m. to shorten his time in custody. But that did nothing, but that nothing could be done in order to avoid his arrest and detention. "I've never seen a case where somebody was so clearly innocent and it would take so little work to establish it and nobody was willing to do the work," according to this Officer Fleischman. Wow. Reed said that they were going to do their due diligence because if you're paralyzed, somebody must have made a mistake. Then talking privately with Balot, he said Reed's withered legs look similar to limbs of those of some of his own family members who were paralyzed and led credence to his account. That's the only way he called off the officer who threw him to the ground, is to say, you know what? He looks paralyzed.
Right.
Right?
Because his limbs aren't used, and so they would be, yeah, you know, very
they'd be
thin.
Sure. Yeah. He also told him, "I would suggest calling the district attorney's office, let them know what you got, because if the door was kicked in, he didn't kick it in," Dorsey told Balot, who replied, "because now it's looking like she might have made a false report." So the one cop who made any sense is finally telling everybody in the squad, you know what? I think we got somebody filing a false report here, right? So at this point, as of last week, Jensen sent an email to a College Park police detective recanting her accusation against Reed. Isn't that convenient?
Never mind.
Yep. Whoops. My mistake. It wasn't him. She says, "My mental state and physical trauma in that moment worked to confuse me," she wrote in the email obtained by ANF. "Please contact me so I can edit the information in the report and clear the name of an innocent man." It doesn't work that way. You're going to jail for filing a false report.
I hope so. I mean, seriously, I really do.
Fleischman said that a Fulton County district attorney told him last week that the arrest warrant against Reed was dismissed and that the charges would be dropped by the prosecutor. Jensen has not been arrested for filing a false report or false police report in Reed's case. The city of College Park, which Reed said has not yet apologized to him, issued a statement saying it is currently looking into this matter with care and consideration. We understand the importance of resolving this situation and appreciate your patience as we conduct a thorough investigation. Can you imagine? I can't.
No, that story made me kind of mad.
Yeah, I was beside myself when I saw it.
Crazy.
Okay, we go from one hero who barely made it through a scenario with police to another hero who thinks he's a hero who just reads about them in comic books. Who probably shouldn't took this situation in his own hands. A New Jersey man brandished a gun at a comic book store to intimidate a disorderly customer. Now, customers at comic book stores can get a little flustered.
They're passionate.
Especially on new comic book day. I mean, Jess, yeah. I mean, new issues are exciting.
Well, I know. It is exciting.
It's the smell of the print. It's the fact that, you know, Batman's got a new adventure. I mean, we got to get into this, right? Well, I believe this is a Sicklerville man was arrested and charged after he pulled out a gun at the comic book store. That's the name of the store, the comic book store.
Ooh, clever.
I know, right? That's a lot of ingenuity there. In Glassboro, New Jersey, to intimidate a disorderly man on Saturday, April 12th. Why not threaten him with your heat vision? I mean, that would seem to do the same thing, wouldn't it? At 11:29 a.m., officers responded to the store at 30 North Main Street in Glassboro. A customer in the store had been acting disorderly and was requested to leave by employees when he threatened physical violence.
I got a gun. See? Pew-pew. Pew-pew.
It's my finger gun. It's my finger banger.
It's right very there. Scary.
See? My finger banger.
Pew-pew. You keep cocking it at me. It's
I'm sorry.
Quit cocking your gun at me,
let
Tim.
Let me put my cock away, Jess. I apologize. another patron, Jason Fernandez, pulled out a gun, racking it to intimidate the disorderly man. Who brings their gun to a comic shop?
I mean, who doesn't? Really, that's the question.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. I mean, you know. I mean, especially when the special edition Spawn issues are out. I mean, you know, you got to be the first one to and only one to get it, right?
You don't know how crazy it's going to get.
Right. I mean, when you've got variant covers, you got to get the 1 in 50 that's on the shelf. So,
right. You know. Personally, I bring my samurai sword, but
yeah, someone's going to catch
people bring guns.
Someone's going to catch heat. You know what I'm saying? Pew, 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 pew. Sorry, I didn't mean to point my cock at you again. So Jason Fernandez goes and racks his gun to intimidate the disorderly man. Fernandez's two children were with him. Big man.
Oh, gosh.
And his 9-year-old was shown on surveillance footage, pulling his dad's arm in an attempt to get him to put the gun away.
Yeah, that's scary.
What the hell's wrong with this guy? All parties involved fled the scene prior to officers' arrival. So we got what we like to call in the comic book biz, a gaggle of chicken shits. That's what we call them.
Basically.
Yeah, a gaggle of chicken shits. I believe you can get that at KFC now for $5. It's in a bucket.
Ooh.
Yeah, the gaggle.
Extra crispy, please.
Yeah, the gaggle of chicken shits. Ask for it by name at the drive-thru. 2 days later, Fernandez was charged with multiple weapons offenses. According to police, he was released pending a court date. So there you go. Remember, leave your finger banger at home if you're going to the comic shop, whatever you want to call it. It has a name, I know. All right, I'm taking this story and I'm putting it outside of not safe for work territory because I believe it's tame enough. It's good enough, it's tame enough, and gosh darn it, people like it.
All right, we'll try not to get too lost in the weeds.
Yeah, we're going to keep it above board, even though this guy was a little...
Right. Cross my fingers. I hope I can do it.
Okay. Maybe I should have put it in not safe for work territory. You know what? I'm going to put it in not safe for work territory.
You're going to save it. You think we're going to get dirty with it? Okay.
I think we are. Yeah. I'm going to move it.
Better over. Safe than sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, you already brought out your cock. I mean.
I did. I put out my finger banger for everybody in not safe for work territory. Okay. You know what? With that, then, I guess we have to take our break, Jess. I thought we could. Oh, you know what? Yeah. Yeah, we have to take our break. I thought we could get away with telling this next story. It was a hazing story on college campuses, but you can't tell a hazing story and not safe without not safe for work.
Yeah, you know that's going to get naughty.
You can't tell the kids about college when they're young.
No.
How do you explain a butt beer to a kid who doesn't know what beer is?
No, that's just confusing and wrong.
It is. So we're going to take our break right here. When we come back, we're going to get into not safe for work territory. So we're going to take our break here while we're in break, put the kids in the closet and lock it, and put some snacks in there with them and maybe some oxygen. That would be nice. Put your boss in a closet, give him some snacks and some oxygen as well. And when we come back, it's time for Not Safe for Work. When we come back right here on the best in true crime podcasting, it's Dumb Crime, Stupid Criminals, the lengthy edition right here on a 420 and Easter and Passover edition of True Crime Tuesday with Jessica Freeberg and Tim Dennis. True Crime Tuesday.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
It's Crayon News story time.
What happened with this dude, Christ Bearer? I heard he cut his penis off and then jumped off a balcony.
Suspect pulls gun from butt, shoots twice at Denver police.
What is your emergency?
I need help.
And what's the problem?
I'm too high.
You're too high?
Yeah.
All right, we are back. It is True Crime Tuesday, Dumb Crime, Stupid Criminals, the extended version. This week, we call it the holiday edition for... I should have said that to begin with, Jess. I'm sorry. Jessica Freeberg and Tim Dennis. All right. I told you it was not safe for work territory. Button up your kids, throw away your boss. It's time now for us to get into it in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Here we go. It's so strange and dehumanizing, says Miami U fraternity Kappa Alpha Psi, as they're suspended over hazing claims. We'll get to the meat and potatoes of this thing, so to speak. Charges are a little lengthy here. Did you ever belong to a sorority, Jess? Have I ever asked you that?
I did not. No.
Okay. I only belonged to one frat, and it was a broadcasting fraternity.
Oh, really? That would have been fun.
All we did is just network with other broadcasters.
I went to a frat party or two in my day, but I never joined anything officially.
Yeah, I did the frat party thing too. I didn't stay around for very long, but I went there.
We had fun.
I saw the evil that happened at those things. I'm not staying that long. I know what happens at those things. The Kappa Alpha Psi fraternity has been suspended from Miami University's campus after allegations of current members and alumni physically abused new recruits. Well, welcome to the party, pal. According to a press release written by Cleveland lawyers, Merriman Legal LLC, a junior at Miami University, and 3 other students were beaten by the fraternity's president, vice president, and other members. Boy, can you imagine getting beaten by the alumni? I mean, when an 80-year-old guy shows up to beat you, that's hazing week right there. That's horrible.
That's pretty bad.
That is. Let me take a shot at Junior. You know, that's horrible. Yeah. The law firm said the junior it represents withdrew from Miami after 5 weeks of the alleged abuse. That's a little much. 5 weeks? There's no organization I want to be a part of where I get hazed for 5 weeks.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. The press release describes nightly hazing rituals that allegedly happened at a campus apartment. Kappa Alpha Psi's alumni allegedly continued the beatings during unauthorized meetings at a house in a Dayton suburb. The junior was one of four initiates seeking membership into Kappa Alpha Psi in the 2024 fall semester. He testified during an Office of Community Standards disciplinary hearing that the fraternity president and vice president beat him with paddles and canes up to 60 times in a night, forced him to do wall sits, and subjected him to constant verbal humiliation during lengthy hazing sessions, which would often last well past 3 a.m. Well, in my family, we just called that a little bit of a punishment.
That was just some Saturday night.
Yeah, that was Saturday night. That was. Did you take candy out of the candy dish? Well, come here. Come here. You got something coming. That's what that was. The law firm also alleges he and other initiates were pushed for failing to recite fraternity-related information on command, for making eye contact with members, and for stepping on grass. I don't think they mean the kind you roll up and smoke either.
Oh,
poor guy stepped on the lawn.
That's it.
Come here and get the paddle.
30 wax.
I don't mean to laugh, but that's kind of a bad reason to hit a guy with a paddle. It's so strange and like dehumanizing, and I don't understand why they did it. Lainey Sexton, who's a freshman sociology and business student at the university and probably should get 30 wax for his name, Lainey Sexton. It's like the worst wrestling name ever.
It's like a country western female singer.
Right?
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. My name's Lainey Sexton. This is my new single. It's called I Got Beat by an 80-Year-Old for Stepping on Grass. Here we go. One, two, one, two, three, four. Lainey goes on to say, even like the thought that I could be walking on campus and walking by these guys who did that is like kind of disgusting. You're the one who wanted to join.
Right. This was your dream.
Yeah. Yeah. You stepped on campus and said, hey, I want to be a Kappa Ducka Kappa or whatever it is. A Kappa Alpha Psi. That's what it is. A quacka quacka quacka. I'll take the paddle for stepping on the grass. Sure.
You think they must have a reputation too. Like if they're this bad with their hazing, like people talk about it. So even before you start to pledge, you would have an idea that you're probably going to get hazed.
That's right. So, you know, what is it they said on that TV show, Jess? You take the good, you take the bad, you take them all, and then you have the facts of life. Isn't that what that is? I think it was Mrs. Garrett that used to walk around the house with the paddle and hit the girls. Wasn't it her?
I don't think she did that, but...
Yeah, she's for stepping on the grass. I think it was her who hit the girls for stepping on the grass. Wasn't that her?
It might have been.
I think so.
She was pretty tough.
Yeah, if I remember my facts of life trivia. I believe Tootie used to get it quite often.
I think you might be remembering it wrong.
No,
but...
roller skates in the house. Tootie used to get it all the time.
Did she beat her with a paddle?
Yeah, all the time with a paddle. I remember in my teenage fantasies, Tootie getting it with the paddle for the roller skates. And that's why we're not safe for work territory.
This is Tim's teenage version of porn. Tootie in her roller skates and her 1980s socks that are white with the little stripes on them. And their booty shorts getting beat with a paddle.
I just seem to remember when they lifted up her skirt, there wasn't much there.
No. I think you're getting this confused with an actual porn that you snuck in and watched as a child.
No, never. Never. Could have swore that was on NBC. Different Strokes was something entirely different. Kidding. Anyways, we move on to our next story. Okay, this one is kind of a serious story. A New York City woman has died after an unlicensed surgeon tried to remove her butt implants.
What?
Yes. I know it. I laughed at the end of it and I said it was serious, but it is a serious story. Have you ever had
I feel like there's so many horrible screen captures of me with my eyes bulging when you tell me these crazy things, because I'm just always like, what?
Yes, a New York City woman has died after unlicensed surgeon tried to remove her butt implants. Have you ever thought about the unlicensed butt implants before, Jess?
No, no. I have enough junk in my trunk.
I have too much junk in my trunk, too. I'm willing to give some away if anybody would like some. Just saying. I would do a direct transplant. And you don't have to put any silicone or garbage from the East River in your ass either.
No, so. It's just straight up fresh meat.
It's fresh meat. That was very nice how you put that. It's just fresh meat. A 31-year-old New York City woman has died after an unlicensed surgeon botched a procedure to remove her butt implants. If things were going well, why would you remove them? Maybe they weren't. Let's read on. The victim, 31-year-old Maria Peñaloza from Queens, went into cardiac arrest and was declared brain dead last month. Is a nice juicy ass worth all that? That's what I got to ask. No.
No.
After a man posing as a plastic surgeon attempted to remove the implants, according to court documents, Felipe Hoyos Foranda allegedly performed the operation without a license to do so and while not in a medical facility. See, there's your first strike. I would like to give you the butt implant in my kitchen. It's not the first words you want to hear when going to get quality butt implants.
No. Nope. He comes at you with a butter knife.
Butter knife. Forgive the peanut butter. It was time for lunch. You don't want to hear those words.
Nope.
A criminal complaint from the Queens District Attorney went on to say, oh boy, Hoyos Foranda is all of 38 years old and has allegedly administered lidocaine to Peñaloza via a syringe, causing her to go into cardiac arrest. She tells me maybe he had a little bit too much lidocaine on that syringe, or maybe something more than lidocaine. By the way, I'm just going to ask you subjectively, Jess. Would you let him inject you with a little something more than lidocaine?
I would not.
No?
Okay. I mean, he looks happy and like a nice guy.
Yeah.
Big smile.
Yeah, okay.
Just I hope that's not his mugshot. He's way too happy to be there.
No. I think this is on the red carpet somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's Felipe Hoyos Ferrand. The victim was removed from Hoyos Foranda's home and was taken to Astoria General Hospital, where she was intubated and had no brain activity. Boy, you know you messed up there. The doctor treating Peñaloza at the hospital told prosecutors that her condition demonstrated signs of lidocaine toxicity and that she would be not likely to survive, according to the complaint. Hoyos Foranda was arrested after the botched surgery and was charged with second-degree assault and unauthorized practice of profession, according to the NYPD. She's currently being held at Otis Barnum Correctional... Or no, he is, not she. She's dead. He is currently being held at Otis Barnum Correctional Center in East Elmhurst, New York, according to custody reports. Whenever circumstances change in a case, we re-examine the charges, according to the DA's office, upgrading the charges after Peñaloza's death. Evidently, they charged him when she was still alive. This remains an active and ongoing investigation. We cannot provide further comment. Attorney information for Hoyos Foranda was not immediately available. His next court appearance is scheduled for April 28th. Yikes.
That's a bad one.
Yeah. Now, I can understand that she was probably, Peñaloza was probably in a lot of pain. What probably happened was she was like, get these things out of me. She probably got them off market, obviously.
Right.
And he was like, all right, I can do that for you. You got them off market, we'll take them out off market. But anytime you do something like that, you're taking your life in your own hands.
I mean, it's scary even to do it in like a real surgeon's office because you never know how you're going to react to the anesthesia.
Right.
You know, a surgery is dangerous.
And just using lidocaine alone is...
Yeah.
Can you imagine how much lidocaine you have to shoot up with in order to take that pain away?
Mm-mm.
That's why she died. Too much lidocaine. That lidocaine toxicity is just... off the charts.
Hmm.
It's just too much. All right. The Virginia flag has been banned in Texas, in a Texas district, Jess. I'll get this out yet. I want you to guess why. Being we're in not safe for work territory.
Okay.
I'm going to show you.
You just want me to throw a random guess out there?
Yes.
You're going to show me?
One random guess. I'm going to show you after you guess. A Texas district has banned the Virginia flag. Why?
Because Virginia sounds too much like vagina.
That's a good guess. If I told you you were pretty close.
Am I?
You're pretty close. But one word, boobies.
That's their flag?
That's their flag.
Stop it. There's an actual breast hanging out in that picture.
Well, yeah, looks like a downed Roman soldier, and she's holding she's holding a spear and a pencil, and it says "Sic Semper Tyrannis." Yeah,
and also flashing ya.
Yeah, and woo, come get some of this, puppy. Yeah, Virginia's bare-breasted state flag and a lesson about the Commonwealth of Virginia has been banned for some students in a Texas school district. Lamar CISD, which is a school district around 30 minutes from Houston, last fall removed a section about Virginia from its online learning platform used by third to fifth graders. Texas Freedom to Read Project co-director Ann Russi tells Axios. Now, the reason? I just showed Jess, and even she was a little surprised. There's a bare breast on Virginia's flag, a picture of which was included in the lesson, and it violated the district's recently adopted ban on any visual depictions of illustrations of frontal nudity in elementary school library material. That, according to what the Lamar district confirmed to Russi in a Freedom of Information Act request. The Texas district, like some in Virginia, uses the educational website Pebble Go Next as one of its online learning platforms to elementary age students per the district's website. Pebble Go's lesson about Virginia does in fact include an image of the state's flag as well as a picture of the state seal, which also shows the breast. So you know what they say, Virginia, we're the breast state in the nation.
She's a very empowered woman, you know.
Yeah.
She's just living her best life, knocking people down, standing on top of them, and letting it all hang out.
You know what else I say? Virginia's flag, we're one breast away from being Lady Godiva.
I had no idea that they had such a racy flag.
Well, you know, Virginia is the state for lovers.
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of love was going on in that image of the, you know, she's on top of him.
Maybe loving them.
Wow.
Loving them some boobies. I know that much.
Wow, Virginia. Yeah. Just wow.
Now, the lesson notes that the state seal and flag depict the Roman goddess Virtus standing over a defeated tyrant, along with the state's motto, Sic Semper Tyrannis. That motto, the lesson tells students, means thus always to tyrants.
But they could have just moved the fabric over just like a little bit.
Put a little pasty on there.
Yeah, you know, just a tassel, anything.
A tassel.
Really? We just don't need to see the whole breast hanging out.
A tassel in the shape of the state.
Yeah.
Tastefully done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what they say, Jess, tough titties. That's what we say there. Okay, it's about to get even rougher, as LL Cool J would say.
Oh, my gosh.
We go to the world of OnlyFans for this next one. A 24-year-old woman has targeted the Granite State Hotel in a pee spree.
Pee spree?
A pee spree. Let me take a drink before I read this. Interestingly enough, I am drinking Sprite Limonade for this next story.
Looks a little bit like pee.
Thanks for mentioning that. OnlyFans model. Do I have a name here for her? It just says the OnlyFans model, who was recently arrested for spraying her urine on more than $1,500 worth of merchandise at a New Hampshire grocery store. Ew. I don't think I'll be getting the merchandise there. Or the produce has been hit with five more criminal counts for an alleged pee spree at a hotel. And a series of criminal mischief complaints filed on April 14th, 24-year-old Kelly Tedford has been accused of damaging an assortment of items at a Marriott in Keene in January. Investigators allege that Tedford, who used the handle Kinky Kelly on OnlyFans, asked for her by name, I guess, urinated into a hotel room's air conditioner unit.
And gross.
Yeah, I know. Ew. Just imagine when you go to fire that thing up.
Ew.
And relieved herself on a comforter blanket, curtains, and a Bible.
What is wrong with this woman?
I don't think anyone showed her where the toilet is in the room.
Is this her thing that OnlyFans like pay for? They pay to see her pee on stuff?
Mm-hmm. I guess we'll find out. She's also charged with, oh gosh, are you ready for this, Jess? She's also charged with defecating on the floor and placing the waste into the toilet tank, a frat boy favorite known as the upper decker.
Oh, Kelly.
Now, see, Kelly did it incorrectly. If you want to do a correct upper decker, Jess, you remove the toilet tank and you sit up on the top and then you properly drop into the top of the tank. Not saying I know how this is done or when it was done. I've never personally performed the upper decker, but I know of some who have.
That you don't poo on the floor and then take it over.
Right.
That's kind of cheating. It doesn't count.
No, that doesn't count. That's an upper decker foul.
Yeah.
You want the proper drop on the upper decker.
I mean, that's probably the fun of it, right? The sploosh?
Yes, it is. It's knowing that you obtained proper height.
Yes.
And
that takes some skill, though. I don't think I could actually do a deuce while, you know, hovering over. I'm trying to envision it. I'm actually trying to act it out in my chair here.
That's what it is. It's the skill of hovering over the tank and dropping.
Okay, you really have to have some strong thigh muscles for that.
Yeah, and concentration.
Hmm. Workout goals, Tim.
That's right. That's core strength right there, Jess. That's core strength.
That's right.
Right. See, now if she really were not just an OnlyFans model, but if she were a proper worker, if she were, you know, like, let's say a proper dancer, she would have those muscles. That's why she's only on
OnlyFans. Yeah. Those girls that work on the poles, they are strong.
That's right. I have great admiration for them.
I do too. Just their physical fitness alone is impressive.
I'm thinking a proper dancer probably could drop a proper upper decker with no issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And probably look really pretty doing it. Like, they'd make it look, you know, sexy.
And sparkly.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm just saying. At the same time the new misdemeanor counts were being filed, Tedford was named in an indictment charging her with felony criminal mischief for allegedly contaminating items at the Monadnock Food Co-op in Keene. Tedford's alleged targeting of the grocery store in February resulted in the business suffering a loss in excess of $1,500 in destroyed merchandise and cleaning costs. I don't think she makes that much on OnlyFans to be doing all this.
It's hard to say. People pay a lot of money for the weirdest things.
You could say that again. Investigators contend that Tedford recorded her vile antics for her $15 a month OnlyFans page, which is no longer online. I don't think she's making that money anymore.
Yeah, so every person was paying $15 a month to watch her urinate and defecate in different places.
Yeah.
What is wrong with those people?
Mm-hmm. Tedford's Kinky Kelly page described her as a submissive pixie, fetish kink friendly, extremes too. Her account also offered subscribers custom content and paid sexting sessions. Oh, that's a nice word. Tedford's OnlyFans account noted that her prior page, Petite Princess, got banned. I can't imagine why. While her Kinky Kelly page appears to have been deleted, explicit videos of Tedford remain online, including one clip showing her urinating on new garments in a clothing store changing room.
Oh, my God.
I'm wondering if potty training was an issue for her when she was little.
Kidding.
You know? Tedford's Instagram page directs followers to an Amazon wish list that is filled with sex toys and lingerie for her to poop on. It's a Conan O'Brien deal. See, it's a,
I remember that. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I was obsessed with that line. Yeah. And I was like probably 23, yeah. 22. I would say about everything.
Yeah. For me to poop on.
My poor husband's like, please stop.
For me
it's
to poop on.
It's not funny anymore.
Actually, it's hysterical. Do you ever, have you seen him lately? Have you seen the dog lately?
I have not.
Oh, he's still funny. I'm sending you multiple videos after this, Jess.
Please do.
Yes. Because there are some funny videos out there. Get me something off this list and get free special customized content. Spoil me to get spoiled, baby. That's right. You get the shaft and she gives you the ass? I don't know. It's really bad. I don't even want to think about it. Tedford, by the way, is scheduled for a May 8th arraignment on the felony and misdemeanor charges. Here's a picture of her in more decent times. Jess, there she is right there.
Oh.
Yeah.
She looks cute.
Well, that end of her does.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to see the other stuff.
Ugh. No, I'll spare you from that.
I mean, I spend a lot of time potty training kids. I spend a lot of time watching people pee and poop and cheering them on. There's nothing sexy about it.
How would you like to be the cameraman in the background going, you missed the Cheerios again? You know, I mean,
just aim, buddy. You got this.
That's right. It's just a Cheerio. It's not that hard. Your brother can do it.
Oh my gosh. The best was, so my middle child was terrified of pooping and she would hold it. Like forever.
No. Yeah.
And so I would make the hanky, the Christmas poo voice. And I'd be like,
but
he wanted to go home with his family. All of his family was poop and they were all in the wash down to the sewer. I'm like, you got to release him. He wants to go be with his family.
Time to let me go. Hey, how about put me in the upper deck of that toilet? See, this picture of her? Whoopsie, I missed the Cheerios again.
Gosh. Yeah. This is a girl who could have done other things with her life.
Yeah, but you know what? Working for NASA wasn't one of them.
Glad she's not a teacher. Let's just be real.
Oh, boy.
You're talking about her for a different reason, one of her other horrible stories that you've told me.
That's right. Whew. All right. That story I was going to read before break, I think I'll bring it up now. It's almost a palate cleanser compared to what we just read.
Anything would be.
Sorry, Jess.
That's all right. I survived.
A naked man attacks another man in Hu Gang. Injures three police officers during the arrest. 22-year-old man was arrested last Thursday, April 17th, after he allegedly slashed another man in Hu Gang, Avenue 8. That's how they identify it, Hu Gang. Hu Gang, Avenue 8. Next on Fox. As he was being arrested, he allegedly injured three police officers with a wooden plank with nails, and they sustained major injuries. Responding to Asia One's queries, the police said they received several calls for assistance at about 1:10 p.m. on a Thursday. Why in the middle of the afternoon are you out naked on a street with a wooden plank full of nails?
Questions we will never have a proper answer to, Tim.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug, Jess. Just saying, right? When the police arrived at the scene, they saw the man running around naked. Earlier, he allegedly attacked a 30-year-old man. The Singapore Civil Defense Force, after they stopped laughing, said they received a call for assistance at Block 681, Hu Gang Avenue 8. And the injured man was taken conscious to Sengkang General Hospital, my favorite show on the ABC affiliate in Singapore. Sengkang General Hospital. The man was subsequently arrested for voluntarily causing hurt by grievous means and for voluntarily causing hurt to deter a public servant from his duty. The fun part of this is he gets to be Singapore caned in the exact same clothes he showed up in for the crime.
So he has to stay in his birthday suit?
Yes, and get Singapore
caned. That's amazing.
Isn't that fun? Hope he likes taking canes to the wiener.
You came into this world naked and you're going to stay naked.
That's right. Police investigations are ongoing, but I guarantee you they'll have this case wrapped up in no time. Okay. If you thought the OnlyFans model was fun, this is our last story before the palate cleanser, Jess. Here's the headline. Keystone crap. Woman busted for beer cave defiling.
You.
Store cameras caught the defendant in the act. Ever just needed a Keystone Light and decided to go where you had to?
No, I cannot say that has ever crossed my mind.
Okay. You ever worked with a nutrition administrator at the school you worked at and they decided they had to drop a deuce in the middle of the liquor store?
That's who it was? Oh, my. Oh.
What is it with people who work in schools these days? Is it?
It's a hard job, Tim. I mean, I did it for many years and yeah. I came close to many breakdowns, many, many.
Okay.
I often thought about pooping in stores. Just because I was just so tired and I couldn't take anymore.
You just said that so nonchalantly. I often thought about pooping in stores and then you went to take a drink. It's just.
I'm kidding. I never thought of that. I don't know what is wrong with people who work in schools anymore. We don't get to hear about the good ones. They're all good. We only hear about the crazy ones.
It was just one of these. I often thought about shitting on top of the principal's head and then running. Mm, yes.
And then wiping my butt with gold toe socks.
Yes. Mm, why not? Yes. Mm, yeah. Mm. What a fine grade of ale I'm drinking tonight. Mm, mm,
mm, mm, mm. I think we call this burnout.
Yes. Mm-hmm. A school nutrition administrator has been arrested for committing a terribly unappetizing act inside the beer cave at Pennsylvania convenience store. Oh, it's an actual beer cave. How nice. Hmm. An employee at a Royal Farms location in Hanover last week called police to report that an unknown woman had come in the previous day and defecated in the beer cave. Which, by the way, is the name of my new album, Defecating in the Beer Cave. That sounds dirty, doesn't it?
It's so gross on every level.
Honey, come on over here and defecate in my beer cave. I mean, that just sounds wrong.
Oh. That
sounds horrible. Mm-hmm. Terrible. Terrible.
We're not putting that on a t-shirt.
Come on. True Crime Tuesday. Honey, come on over here and defecate in my beer cave. Okay, yeah, you couldn't sell that on the internet anywhere. Now watch, we're going to get orders for that. We're going to get people emailing for, I'll buy 10 of those if you put it up tomorrow. As described in a probable cause affidavit, the beer cave is a walk-in cooler open to the public to select cooled beverages. Well, it's a walk-in cooler, not a beer cave. All the doors into the beer cave and cooled areas are clear glass. Which means you get to see lots of ass. Mm-hmm. It provides visual of the inside from the common area of the store. Now, a police review of the store security footage showed the suspect pushing a case of alcohol. Did you like, oh, I stopped there? Showed the suspect pushing a case of alcoholic beverages back on the shelf, then pulling her pants down and defecating on the shelves, then leaving.
Hi.
Here's mud in your eye.
Like, literally, what is, that's such a weird thing that people do. And there literally was a guy who used to do that back when I went to Iowa State in Ames. He'd come into the mall, into the Yonkers. That's where I worked. Mm-hmm. And he would poop in the changing rooms and then wipe his butt with gold toe socks, like, all the time. Like, it happened over and over again. We're like, why with the gold toe socks, first of all?
Maybe he had a vendetta against gold toe.
It was so weird. And it didn't just happen there. It also happened at another mall I worked at in Nebraska. Like, I'm like, why do people do this?
Is it a vendetta against the store or the vendetta against the socks?
I don't know. Or is it just a sickness in your mind where you're just like, I have to go poop in public?
You know, there's a little bit of a, there's a little bit of an extrovert thing going on too.
Yeah, like my strange addiction or something, just like some weird kink. I don't know.
It is kind of a weird kink for some people. Yeah. Now, cameras recorded the woman arriving at Royal Farms in an SUV. The vehicle's registered owner identified 47-year-old Crystal Gauze as the individual driving the car when the offense occurred. A driver's license photo of Gauze matched the subject depicted in the surveillance footage. The relationship between Gauze and the car's owner is not addressed in a court filing. Gauze was arrested for several crimes. This was as of, I believe, a couple days ago, including open lewdness, criminal mischief, and disorderly conduct that created a hazardous and physically offensive condition. That's an actual charge. It's quite detailed. According to the complaint, which does not indicate why Gauze allegedly used the beer cave as a toilet, about $80 worth of Royal Farms merchandise was lost. Gauze, who lives about a mile from Royal Farms, is the director of food and nutrition for the local school district. Why would you jeopardize that job?
Right. You know, there's some weird mental aspect to this. Like, it's a compulsion of some sort.
She wants to jeopardize her job. That obviously she's feeling pressure at that job, so she wants to jeopardize it. I mean, that's all there is to that. All right, brain cleanser. We need one of those. There's an aggressive beaver on the loose in Wisconsin. A beaver that won't be denied. A beaver that needs it. A beaver that needs to be recognized. A beaver that needs that attention, Jess. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
A beaver that needs the entire city of Oak Creek. It needs to feel the entire city of Oak Creek inside of it. Do you know what beaver I'm talking about?
Oh, no. Yes. I thought you were talking about the little furry ones with four legs.
Yeah, maybe I am. Do you know what beaver I'm talking about? I am talking about a beaver here. I am talking about Bucky.
Oh, good. Thank God. Oh, yes. I thought you were going to show me something terrible.
No, Bucky. What were you thinking I was talking about? Bucky's is coming to Oak Grove, Wisconsin. You are so perverted.
I know.
What did you think I was talking about?
I blame you. I blame you for my mind being in the gutter. I'm just a good girl, minding my business, drinking my water.
Sure.
It's not vodka. No, you don't know.
Not at all. Oak Creek's Bucky's is undergoing a lawsuit.
What did Bucky do?
All he wants to do is just show up and be loved. But the people of Oak Creek are like, here's your welcome wagon, Bucky. And they're holding up their middle fingers.
Yeah, they're like, F off, Bucky.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to flip off the people on camera, but I'm just, yeah. It turns out that Oak Creek Bucky's lawsuit, neighbors are suing the city over rezoning. Here's the story. An Oak Creek neighborhood group is suing the city over the proposed Bucky's Travel Center. Bucky wants to put up a nice new travel center in Oak Creek. Bucky wants you all to come visit. Bucky's got really good food. Bucky's welcome to all. Bucky wants you inside a Bucky so badly, Bucky wants to burst.
Bucky just has a lot of love for everyone.
That's right. Bucky's got a whole lot of love. The 20-page lawsuit was filed on Friday, April 11th, and lists Oak Creek Neighbors United as the plaintiff and the city of Oak Creek as the defendant. It challenges a decision to approve an amendment to the city of Oak Creek's comprehensive plan and associated spot rezoning of property located in the southwestern corner of the city of Oak Creek on South 27th Street and Elm Road, the site of the proposed Buc-ee's. To transform the land, it takes rezoning and a change to the city's comprehensive plan. The Oak Creek Common Council approved both in March, but the lawsuit claims the city failed to follow city code and state law when it rezoned the land. The neighborhood group claims that the rezoning is illegal spot zoning and should be declared void by the court. The lawsuit claims the subject property was rezoned and the comprehensive plan amended to benefit just the owner of the property over the objection of several hundred citizens and the alderman for the district. The comprehensive plan amendment and rezoning would allow for the Buc-ee's development, but represents an obvious departure from the existing zoning and long-planned use of the subject property and this area of the city. So what are they saying? The neighbors can see the spot from their backyard, although there's another farm field and street as a buffer. We don't have room for 12,000 visitors a day and the noise, they say. We're also worried about our property value. Who's going to buy our house knowing what's there? There's a whole lot of beaver. That's what they're saying, Jess. Whole lot of beaver hanging out there.
That's a real problem.
It can be, especially if the beaver's not trimmed. You know what I mean? It's just hanging out. You got to keep that beaver trimmed up. They claim there's going to be lots of lights and noise. It's too much. It's too much for this area. Wham, 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 wham. Everything from the increased traffic to the noise pollution. Our neighbor next door used to own a gas station, said neighbor Paul Sekulovich. He said the smell from the 120 pumps could be a problem. Someone's pumping that beaver 120 times, Jess, and it's going to be a problem.
Oh, my.
Yeah. By the way, the proposed Buc-ee's Travel Center could be home to a 73,370 square foot convenience store, fueling plaza, and feature 120 gas pumps. The goal is to open the location in early 2027. I say we need
a Buc-ee's. I'd go there.
Yeah, I would too. I would drive there just to get a little bit of the beaver. Why not? Yeah. Be a nice little road trip.
A road trip, yeah. I'd take it with you.
Yeah, we need little Buc-ee's.
We wear come and go t-shirts.
Wear the come and go t-shirts. It's over to the Buc-ee's. Yeah, you gotta merge a little come and go with the beaver, right? Just saying. Because as it is now, Buc-ee's doesn't have any locations in Wisconsin. I don't know of any Buc-ee's in Minnesota. You have to go to Alabama, Colorado, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, Missouri, South Carolina, Tennessee, or Texas to go to a Buc-ee's.
I want a Buc-ee's.
Right. Me too.
Yeah. I want to pump my gas at a beaver gas station.
Me too. I want to pump some beaver. So, Wisconsin, get on it. That's all we're saying.
That's right. We can drive to Wisconsin. I mean, really, it's right there. It's practically ours if they put it in Wisconsin.
We can practically smell the gas coming out of the beaver. Just saying.
Oh.
Oak Creek, get your stuff and gear. We want a piece of
it. We're coming for the beaver.
You said it. I didn't. All right. With that, that'll do it for Dumb Crime, Stupid Criminals today. Tomorrow, Supernatural News. Interesting. We didn't talk about it today. We'll talk about it tomorrow. There's been a development in the Aaron Goodwin case.
Ooh.
Yes. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. That's what we'll tease tomorrow. And then Thursday, and keep it a surprise.
All right. No teaser.
No, because I didn't get you all Easter baskets or 420 baskets. So we'll keep Thursday a surprise as of right now. That's my contribution to you. So that'll do it for today.
There you go.
Anything new in your world before we take off today, Jess?
Oh no, just the same old. Go buy some books, my friend. If you want one signed, shoot me a message and I'll get it to you.
All right, sounds good. All right, so that'll do it for today. Join us for Supernatural News tomorrow. For Jessica Freeberg, I'm Tim Dennis. Thank you so much for joining us today for the best in true crime podcasting. This is True Crime Tuesday.